today, and I'm presenting what we did together with him and Professor Manoj Jha from Iowa University. So what I'm talking is about modeling surface water quality impacts of biofuel crops, crop alternatives in South Central Minnesota. To give you some introductory remarks about our research, biofuel production in Minnesota covers about 8.4% of the total United States ethanol production. We have 19 ethanol plants in Minnesota these days, and we are producing about 1 billion gallons of ethanol annually. And Minnesota corn ethanol production shows an increasing trend by a rate of 3.2 billion liters per year. And as a result, there is a need to have more corn grain to provide the feedstock demands of our ethanol facilities. And basically, the corn grain requirement is of the 25% of the corn acreage we have in the state. And recently, there is a corn residue from cellulosic ethanol, and this is still under investigation. Especially, we have two sites where the research work is undergoing to shift from grain ethanol to cellulosic ethanol, and we have more than 30 million tons of corn stover produced in the state. And in the last years, there is an increasing trend of corn acreage due to the ethanol production. And if you see the 2006-2007, there is a 40% increase in the total acreage of corn land. And this is basically a result of shifting from corn soybean, which is the commonly known production system in Minnesota, to a corn soybean rotation. As you can see on the graph here, there is an increase in corn production as a result of increasing in harvested acreage. And if you come, if it comes to the soybean acreage, it shows some decreasing trend due to the increase in rotation of corn. So as a result of this, there is more nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizer application for sustainable production of corn, and there is a growing concern on surface water quality of the state has been impacted by biofuels production. With this general introduction, the objectives of our study were to evaluate what are the water quality impacts of producing biofuel crops, and for that we used a modeling approach of SWOT, and we tried to quantify the water quality impacts resulting from a shift in rotation systems, resulting from the removal of residue. What would happen if you're removing different levels of residue? For that matter, we tried to see the effect of removing residue by 10%, 30%, and 60%, as different from the baseline scenario of no removal of residue. And the other interesting objective we tried to see was what would be the effect of planting switchgrass. The study area we were in was the Lasur River watershed, which is one of the 12 major watersheds of the Minnesota River Basin. This is located in South Central Minnesota. Here is the Lasur River watershed. This portion here you see is Minnesota River Basin, and it drains into the Mississippi River all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. So any water quality impact on in this watershed is an impact to the Minnesota River Basin water quality and eventually to the Mississippi River Basin. So it is really an interesting area to study. The Le Sur River watershed has an area of about 2,850 square kilometers, and for the most part, it is an agricultural watershed, and it covers 7% of the entire Minnesota River Basin. And it is pretty much a flat land, which is largely under tile drainage. And the soils are very deep and poorly drained, fine texture, molly soils. And this river basin is known for its impairment of sediment. So does the biofuel production system in this watershed gonna contribute towards the impairment more or not, is the question we're gonna try to answer today. The modeling approach we used is the soil and water assessment tool modeling approach. This is a physically based continuous time model, and it has a crop growth and water quality algorithms in it. And basically, the crop growth routines are based on leaf area index and radiation use efficiency, biomass production, and stress simulation. And it can do a very good job of water balance and the nutrient cycling, as we have tested in our study area. And furthermore, the plant development rate in the model is basically temperature driven. So having the best temperature and optimum temperature is the major parameters that guide the growth patterns, and basically the plant heat units in degree days govern the overall growth of any biofuel crops you're growing. So basically, this model is a watershed or river basin scale model, and its data organization is at HRU level. HRUs are nothing but they are the smallest units of modeling which have similar land use, soils, and management practices. So the major inputs are the digital elevation model and the sorgho soils or the statistical soils, and details of land use that could be from the cropland database or the national land cover. And you need to have the stream network as an input, then weather data input, and if there are any point sources, and then you need to have some more measured flow and water quality parameters to calibrate and validate the model. And as you know, we can't have continuous daily based measurements, so for missing values, we used some regression equation loaded programs like LODEST. And then the scenarios we studied were the baseline scenario of corn soybean, and as an alternative, we tried to see what would be the effect of having switchgrass planted extensively in the watershed. And the other scenario, as I said earlier, is having corn soybean rotation. Very recently, we have a very small soybean plantation just plugged into the corn system. And there is a possibility of shifting towards corn residue removal for cellulosic ethanol. Could that be positive or negative for the water quality is what we tried to answer. And the management operations we tried to model were major changes in management operations from corn soybean to corn soybean is followed by a change in the tillage system. Basically, by having more corn rotations, it means more crop residue on the field, so we need some more aggressive tillage tools. For that, we shifted from chisel plow to moldboard plow. And another thing is, just by having more corn rotation, we need to apply more nitrogen fertilizer. For that, we applied 43 kilogram per hectare of additional nitrogen for the 2 years rotation of corn. And then for the corn residue removal, assuming 60 kilogram per hectare of nitrogen would be removed if you're removing corn, for 10, 30, and 60% residue removal, we assumed 6, 18, and 36 kilogram per hectare of additional nitrogen fertilizer were gonna be applied. Finally, if there is no tillage, there is no tillage in established switchgrass, we assumed only 51 kg of nitrogen fertilizer to start the growth of this plant. Then the model setup was made. This is the Le Sur watershed, our study area, just by dividing the entire watershed into 84 sub-watersheds and 4,818 HRUs, the minimum modeling units I talked about earlier. And basically, this subdivision is in line with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources subdivision of watersheds. Model calibration and validation. Calibration was made at a small representative sub-watershed named Biford, shown by the red mark here, almost at the center of the watershed. So we did all our calibration work in about 2,900 hectares of land, and then applied all the calibrated parameters to the rest or to the entire of the watershed area. And again, we used the year 2000, which is very close to the normal year, as a calibration year, and validated our model for the years from 2001 to 2006. Then model simulation efficiency was evaluated by Nath-Sutcliffe equation. Then calibrated model input parameters were transferred to the entire Le Sur, as I said earlier. With this, I will take you to the result. Hydrology is a major driving factor, so having a good job done on hydrology is everything, I would say. So in that regard, we got a NSE of 0.89, which can be translated very close to R squared of 89. So as you can see here, for flow validation hydrograph for the years 2001 to 2005 has shown a very close, you know, matching curves. And for sediment, which is also an important parameter, especially when it comes to phosphorus, also phosphorus is being lost, absorbed to sediment, and we got 0.76 NSE, which is pretty much good. And then this was for the calibration watershed. But when we applied that to the entire watershed, the model predicted discharge still more accurately, like having NSE of 0.73. And for the sediment yield, there was a big disparity from the measured. The reason behind that is we have a lot of bluffs and ravines, or there is a channel degradation process in the watershed, and the model we have has no capacity to do simulation of channel degradation. So we completely shut off the channel processes. So all you see here is the sediment that's coming from uplands. So this difference is something we expected, and the difference was due to the channel sources. Then with that, we tried to see validation of the flux of nutrients. When it comes to phosphorus, our model estimated phosphorus loss was close to the measured by NSE of 0.67, which is pretty much good, and validation of nitrates showed 0.74. Still, the model is acting with great accuracy. Then, we tried to calibrate grain yield, and in that regard, you can see here, corn and soybean were simulated in dry range, and then finally validation of nitrate loss was with NSC of 0.74. And water quality baseline scenario showed a water yield of about 250 millimeter, and the sediment yield was about 1.75 tons per hectare. And the rest, as you can see here, so soluble phosphorus and sediment phosphorus altogether about 1 kilogram per hectare. And with regard to impacts on water yield and sediment yield of removing residue, we have 10%, 30%, and 60% residue removal. The 10% residue removal doesn't have a big impact on the water yield, but it has a big impact on sediment yield. And the case is very serious when we shifted to 60% residue removal. This is under corn soybean rotation. And it would be more severe when we're shifting to corn soybean rotation, which is gonna be about 70% increase in the sediment yield. And when it comes to phosphorus loss, the total phosphorus loss would increase by 60% for corn soybean rotation, but under corn soybean rotation, that's gonna be nearly 30%. So there is a possibility of 60% increase in the loss of phosphorus. So it is very scary issue. We have to keep an eye or attention on it. Finally, impacts on nitrogen loss. The total nitrogen loss would increase by up to 80% for 60% residue removal, and by about 60% for 10% residue removal. And when it comes to switchgrass can have a good advantage on reducing the sediment yield. So basically, if we plant switchgrass on all CRP lands, there would be a possibility to increase the sediment yield. So it's not a valid option to replace CRP lands by switchgrass. That's what our model results are showing. Yeah. On the other hand, switchgrass on over 2% slope would decrease the loss by 70%. And the rest advantage of switchgrass has been shown here in on the graph. I'm running out of time, so I don't do any of the conclusions. And with that, I will end up my presentation. Thank you.
That's time for one question.
Yes, sir. The baseline soil losses, the sediment yield is 1 ton per hectare, 1.75 ton per hectare. And this can increase and this can increase by up to 30% if we are shifting, if we are removing 60% residue removal under corn soybean rotation, and it can go even way more.